And up next on Coast to Coast, we're going to be talking about the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Edgar Cayce was one of those incredible human beings who walked this planet. Winfrey back with us on Coast to Coast AM. Well, welcome back to Coast to Coast. A few weeks ago, we have talked about Edgar Cayce, and then last week I talked about Edgar Cayce with David Wilcock, who the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, was written all about by Winfrey. It's an incredible story of how people believe that David Wilcock, is the reincarnated Edgar Cayce. Edgar Cayce, of course, the great American prophet who was able in a trance state to give incredible kinds of readings and predictions on health issues and events that would happen on this planet, the Hall of Records, just an amazing story. Written, of course, by Winfrey, a very popular author with David Wilcock, of The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And here is Winfrey back on Coast to Coast. Hello, Win. Welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Good to have you, my friend. What's up with you these days?
What's up? Well, my wife is so insane that it's hard to talk in regular language. I mean, I'm still a human. I have all the things humans have. But we're doing these conference calls, and there's this amazing energy on these calls that people all over the world feel. And it blows my mind because I didn't know that would happen. You know, I felt a calling to put this work out, you know, between the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce and between my own experiences. I said there's something really important here, and so we've been doing conference calls for years, and I mean, I get emails from people that are having epiphanies that are coming to my calls, and every Sunday we do a healing call. What is that lady that does the intention experiment?
Lynn McTaggart.
Lynn McTaggart, yeah. Well, it's kind of like it would be similar to the intention experiment, except now she may have them participating and not exactly know it or know there's something going on because they're not exclusive to me, but there's these group souls that they both say that they can project energy into this realm. You know, the Elohim group and the Ra group, mm-hmm. and that their requirement is they don't violate free will, so people have to ask. And so what happens is we have a group energy on the call, and the people on the call have a group energy amongst them.
Can you feel it?
And then you can feel it. I mean, I'm not going to say that everybody feels it, but so many people feel it, and so many people send me emails about it. And then when they start getting used to feeling it, you know, the biggest premise of these group souls is what they call the law of one. And the law of one means there's one energy that permeates the entire universe. And it goes through all these dimensions, through fractals, and everything is part of that energy, including especially you and me. We're part of it. But in a human body, it's very hard to access that directly because our energy, our soul energy, works through our senses. And you have to pick that energy up in a funny way. How can I say it? It's like, everyone has experienced group energy. Group energy can be good or bad. Depends on how you use it.
Well, we see what's happening on this planet right now when group energy is good or bad. I think at this point, the bad part of the energy is winning or taking over. I don't think it's going to win in the long run, but I think it's got an advantage right now.
Well, you know what? I've been listening to your shows. I've been doing my own studying, and I have... Here's the deal. Now, I don't know, I can't prove this is true, but we live in a holographic, multidimensional soup, every one of us, and we don't know it. We sometimes have inklings. We have little coincidences, or we have a psychic impression, or you're thinking of somebody and they call you. So people get little signs like that. But the big picture is we, every one of us right now, are surrounded by higher dimensions. Higher dimensions don't necessarily mean positive. I mean, in other higher dimensions, there's all these levels. There are both negative and positive intelligences, beings. And if you keep going, at the very top of it, there's only positive. So there's only a beyond duality, you could say. And this is where the law of one kicks in. The negative beings, even though they can be high in the dimensions.
And there are many of them.
And you got all the people coming into your show talking about them all the time. Now, a ghost may not be a negative being. A ghost is just probably a discarnate soul that got stuck in this realm, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And is hanging out around something they're familiar with. And from my understanding, ghosts can see you, but you can't see them. They can even hear you. And so they want to get attention because they're lonely. They're still stuck. But when you get at the very higher levels of dimensions, shall we say, you have these two group souls that can move into all the lower dimensions, but they can only move in if they're asked, because they honor free will. And they're not God in the traditional sense of the way we think of God. But oftentimes, when they do move into this dimension, and something happens that looks like a miracle, because what happens is every point in this dimension goes back to source. It goes through all the levels. And so if you tweak something at a higher place, it downloads into something in this realm. And that's what looks like a miracle.
Interesting.
You know, I mean, you've heard me talk about my sister's miracle, where they said they projected an energy into her.
Say it again. For people who are brand new, tell us that story again.
Okay. Well, here I am. I am writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And I'm studying Wilcock, and I'm studying his channelings. And the voice that was coming through him said they were a group soul that was made of individual souls that previously had lives in this dimension and went through a series of many lifetimes. And they called themselves the Ra Group. And they were talking through Wilcock, and they were giving incredible wisdom about how things work and who they are. And they have this incredible wisdom because they've been there and they've done it. They actually had 1,000 lifetimes, not on this planet. Their most recent planet was, the way they describe it, was Venus. And there's this process where you go through a series of lifetimes, and it can be hundreds, and eventually you learn the lessons of this realm. It becomes boring, you're not scared of it, and you graduate this realm. And you don't have to come back into the wheel of reincarnation. And when you graduate this realm, and you're going to, you know, you've done a positive dispensations, you know, you've cleaned up your karma, you don't have, you know, you're ready to let go. One of the potential destinations is this huge group soul that's made of hundreds of millions of graduates. And that was the group soul that was speaking through through David Wilcock,
mm-hmm.
when I was writing the book. This was my first introduction to them, I thought. But as I convinced myself that David was Casey, I had to draw the speculation, the probability, that if I was sure Wilcock was Casey, then Casey would have been talking to the same group soul. And because they had so many lifetimes and they had access to the memory of all those lifetimes, they knew all these unusual healing modalities. That's my take. They didn't say that, but my take is that's one of the reasons Casey was so good at doing his reading.
Oh, he was amazing. And what made you think and still believe that David Wilcock is the reincarnated Edgar Casey?
Well, there were a number of things. Okay, it starts out that in David's early story, we're talking about 1996, 97, 98, he had decided to write his dreams down. And he put a pad by his bed, and he would wake up in the middle of the night and write something on the pad, and he didn't look at it. In the morning when he looked at the pad, there were these sentence fragments, these messages.
Did they make sense to him?
Yeah, they did. They were like counseling him.
Okay.
They were sometimes making some predictions of things that were happening in the world. And he kept getting these sentence fragments. And then he decided, after about a week, they made a prediction of something that was going to happen in David's life. And it came true. And it was like very precise. It was a little cryptic when they said it. I think it was something like, you're going to get a 3.5 by 11 sheet of paper on Friday at 10:30 a.m. That's not it, but it was like that. It was similar to that. And on Friday at 10:30 a.m., David got a traffic ticket.
He got his piece of paper.
And so David got very intrigued about this, and he started reading about channeling, and he started developing the ability to bring these messages in consciously. And he, instead of getting sentence fragments, he was getting paragraphs and pages of information. And he would read them, and occasionally there would be predictions, but mostly they were actually counseling David about himself, many of them. And then at a certain point, they told David to do readings. And I had a reading from David in that early stage. But let me go. Before I talk about my reading, David then was guided by these voices to go to Virginia Beach.
All right. Was he convinced at this time that he was Edgar Casey, or did he even
know? Okay. No, he didn't even know.
All right.
He thought it was E.T.'s talking to him.
All right.
Okay. He didn't know who was talking to him. And but they told him to go to Virginia Beach. He knew about Edgar Casey, and he was living at the time in New Paltz, New York. New Paltz, yes. He had graduated college, and he was young, 24 years old.
Yeah.
I don't know, 25, can't remember. But he went to Newport. He went to Virginia Beach, and he knew that was the birthplace, you know, not the birthplace, but the place where the Casey Institute had their foundation, okay? And so he looked up Casey at that point, and he said, his stomach turned, and he said, geez, I think I look like that guy, okay?
Well, he does. He's got a startling resemblance.
And then he went to Virginia Beach. And
went to the ARE, the Casey's.
Went to the ARE. Well, no, actually what happened was people started stopping him on the street, different people in the ARE.
In Virginia Beach?
In Virginia Beach, yeah, because he was the spitting image of Edgar Casey.
Yeah, and they all know him, I guess. They all knew about Casey.
They all knew about many of the people. Did,
yeah.
And particularly even some of the people from the Casey Institute. So now David was able to ask questions to this voice. And he asked the question, I'm just going to paraphrase it here, what's up with me and Edgar Casey, right? And they told him, you were Edgar Casey, and if you study Edgar Casey, you'll see the parallels. But this lifetime, if you're going to do your highest service, you're not just going to do health and past life readings. We'd like you to be a public figure educating the masses. That's what they said, something to that effect. So David started studying Edgar Casey at that point, and he found that not only did he look like Casey, his father looked like Casey's father.
Right.
His friend looked like Casey's wife. And, you know, supposedly people travel in soul groups.
Yep.
You meet the same people.
Oh, yeah, they all cluster together, don't they?
Yeah, and I know that's true. I know it's true because I've had the experience myself of figuring out a couple of my past lives, and the people that were in my life were all spitting resemblances of the people in the other person's lives. So now we have three people, actually more, but three that I'm just talking about that were part of Casey's life. And then he studied Casey, and he found out that Casey's astrology, his personal planets were in the same sign as David's. And statistically, the odds of all those planets being in the same sign, as I recall, I put it in the book, was 1 in 260,000. Okay?
Wow.
So you have three people that look alike. You have an astrology chart that matches. You have David coming through with these extraordinary readings, extraordinary, deep, you know, I was taught when I would talk to David, I couldn't believe the readings were far. David, if you're listening to this, I say this in, you know, that you were 28 years old and these readings were like from the wisest man you could, or it wasn't a man, but the wisest source you could imagine. And that's what made me write the book, because half of the book is the readings that David was doing. The first half just builds all the cases together, and the second half is the readings and the source coming through him, which David believed was this group soul, Ra, was taking a very, how would you say it, high look at the human condition and telling people how to get back to God, essentially, how to get over their karma in this realm and get back to God. And while I was writing the book, I was 2 years into writing it, and it was just blowing my mind that I was actually doing it. And David was scared at the time of the responsibility of being Edgar Casey. You know, one of the things about channeling, and this is a very important principle that I have learned, that when you're bringing through voices from other dimensions, it may not be always who they say they are. Like one day somebody could be talking to the Elohim or to the Ra group, and the next day there can be a trickster that says, I'm the Elohim.
That's true. Hey, Wynn, stay with us. We're going to take this break and come back, and let's talk about the mystical Ra group and tell us what it is. We're going to go out into another plane of existence. Wynn Free with us. That'll be next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Wynn Free with us. Wynn, so when you talk about the Ra group, explain who that group is and what that group is.
Well, okay, we're just going to use our imagination now because they're invisible.
Let it wander.
But there is a lady that I want to talk about who was another channel for the Ra group,
mm-hmm.
and they gave a huge amount of information.
Speak up a little bit, if you would. Okay.
They gave a huge amount of information, more than that came through David. David's stuff was like guidance. It was like how to work the human realm. There's a lady named Carla Ruckert, and David refers to her work as the Law of One material. And when I first met David, he had some of her stuff posted on his website. So I went out of my way to learn about what she said. And in 1981, she was in a channeling group in Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
And most of the people that were in that group were channeling while they were conscious. They were hearing voices and saying what they heard, and they were talking to discarnate entities. And she suddenly went into a trance, and this voice came through her and said, "I am Ra, and we felt your need to, your questions were deep, and we wanted to come forward and answer them." And so for the next 3 years, the leader of this group, his name was Don Elkins, was a PhD teacher at the university there, and he would be questioning and questioning and questioning, "Who are you? What have you done?" And they were answering, and it's like a view of how the universe administrates itself that has never been in this realm. And her Ra books, she has 5 books of that period of time. And
is the group that will win the Egyptian Ra? We've heard so much about that.
Yes and no. Okay, I'll tell you the story of that. Edgar Cayce had an early life. Now, I'm going to tell you according to the Edgar Cayce readings. Edgar Cayce had an early life as an Egyptian high priest by the name of Ra-Ta. Are you familiar with that story, George?
Yes, but I'm sure our audience might not be, so go ahead.
Our audience isn't, yeah. Ra-Ta, sometime around 10,000 B.C., and Ra-Ta was doing all of these miracles of healing according to the Edgar Cayce readings. They have pages about him. And he was building temples. And he, according to the Edgar Cayce readings, he built the pyramids by levitation. And then in the Edgar Cayce readings, this was like, I had studied those readings, so I remembered this story. In the Edgar Cayce readings, Ra-Ta, when he left this realm, became known as Ra, the sun god. Okay?
I'm with you.
And that's David Wilcock, right? So now what really happened, I was just talking about Carla Ruckert and her 5 books called The Law of One, and I was studying them. And in her books, the Ra group spoke through her and said, "We came upon a priest that we had an affinity with in Egypt, 10,000 B.C., and we helped that priest do all these healing miracles."
Oh, my gosh.
We even manifested bodies that out of light that people could see, and we walked amongst your people. And then in the Carla, obviously, this is what made me write the book. I found that thing in the Carla Ruckert material, and it was like a footprint from a whole nother source that was talking about the same incident, okay? Obviously, or to me, it was obvious that it had to have been Edgar Cayce they were talking about. They never mentioned Edgar Cayce, and Edgar Cayce never mentioned a Ra group, okay? And I don't think they could tell Edgar Cayce they were a group soul because of his fundamental Christianity. He had to believe that the source that was speaking to him was connected to Jesus, and he called them the Christ. And So now, in the Carla Ruckert material, in her material, they said, the Ra group said, the priests of that time were very jealous of the way that all the power was flowing towards us. So that in the long run, what they did, they said, was not good, because the priesthood took the name Ra and turned it into the god of Egypt. And it became known as Amun-Ra. And all through early thousands of years of Egyptian history, the gods of Egypt were negative, and probably Anunnaki. And then through Carla Ruckert, the Ra group said, they identified one other person they spoke to, and it was the Egyptian pharaoh, Akhenaten. And Akhenaten, historically, you know the story of Akhenaten, but I'll tell the story for the listeners. He was this sometimes called the heretic Egyptian pharaoh, because he outlawed all the religions of the traditional worship of Egypt.
Now, who has he since reincarnated?
Don't ask me that, George.
Why? Is that you?
Well, don't ask me. All I'll tell you is that, girlfriend, you know the lady that I met that was channeling?
Right.
Was the spitting image of Akhenaten's wife, Nefertiti.
Which means that it's you.
Well, I'm not going to say that. I don't want to be somebody notorious. And in fact, what they said was, what the Ra group said about Akhenaten is they said that the power went to his head, and he didn't use the, they indicated that he wasn't, it wasn't the best diplomat in terms of how he executed his executed is not the right word, but enforced his ban on the traditional religion.
Huh.
Except they were really negative. They were doing sacrifices.
Sure.
It was the same deities that are behind the secret societies of today, okay? Same ones, I believe. And so there was an attempt to, they made some attempt at trying to clear it. And if you know the history of Akhenaten, he took his followers to his own city, and they all practiced this new religion, which was to one god. And eventually, his own general and his own people marched on that city, and they destroyed it.
Was he before Tutankhamun?
Yes.
He was, okay.
He's supposedly Tutankhamun's father.
Aha, okay.
Okay? And so it's one of the reasons that I have such an affinity for all this stuff. And I believe that the Ra group was talking to him. They didn't give any more indication in the Ruckert material other than we spoke with Akhenaten. The question was asked, who had they spoken with? And they said, Akhenaten. And many people, I've read this in alternative sources, that Akhenaten was responsible. He knew he was going to fail, but he was responsible for setting up the Essenes. You know who the Essenes
are? Oh, yeah. That's the group that followed Jesus.
Right, right.
They wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Right, right, right. Well, what he did was he was sending some of his most enlightened people out to live in the caves. And there was indication that he knew something about Jesus coming in. And this was going to be a community. The Ra group, if I have it right, the Ra group was setting this up.
Is the Ra group still communicating with people now?
The rock group is watching us, George. I couldn't talk about them without them paying attention. You know, the big deal is that they want people, first of all, what I have learned is that this is not about following some god form named Ra. You have hundreds of millions of beings that are grouped together in councils that are available to help us in many, many, many ways. Like when I was first writing the Wilcock book, and my head was spinning on this whole thing. My head was actually, can this be real? Can David actually be Casey? I mean, I had studied so much of Casey, and then one night, in the middle of the night, my printer went on, and it printed out one of the Rock channelings from the book.
By itself.
By itself. Absolutely no way it could have happened. And I started to, I said, they are paying attention to me. That's how they're showing me, okay? And, you know, numerous things like that have happened since then. And, you know, while I am learning about the Ra group and I'm reading about the record sessions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, while I'm doing that, I meet Dee. I'm calling her Dee because she wants to be anonymous, okay? I meet Dee, and we have that famous car ride from L.A. to Portland where it was pouring rain, and I said, does anybody want to talk to me? I did a prayer of protection, and at the end of the prayer for safe driving, at the end of the prayer, I said, does anybody want to talk to me? And suddenly, she answered, started talking, and I thought she was joking because she knows I'm writing this book, and then after a few minutes, she said, that's the strangest thing that ever happened to me. And then 3 days later, we did it again in Portland, Oregon. And I asked her, do you want to try it again? And I took a tape recorder out. And I said, does anybody want to talk to me? Again, there was an answer. I said, how come my girlfriend can do this? Your girlfriend's from another dimension. She came here to bring these messages in. And this is a very important connection. And then, of course, I asked them about how do I know she's not crazy or schizophrenic and she's not making this up? Can you guys predict a newspaper headline? And they did. And then for the next 6 months, she's tapping me on the shoulder saying, those guys want to talk to you again. I'm having endless conversations asking them questions that I didn't think could ever be answered in this realm. And they're answering. They're just rattling off answers. And they call themselves the Elohim. And I look up the Elohim, I'm researching it, and they're another group soul. And that group soul didn't take bodies. And they existed at the center of the universe. And that they said that they were the creators of the physical universe. And so I asked them all kinds of questions about it. Well, how did you do that? And they explained it. You know, that's the book I give away for free. If you go to the intelligent-infinity.com, the creator gods of the physical universe want to talk to you. Now, I could be talking to something negative. It's possible. I have evaluated this. I was very nervous at the time. David was very nervous at the time. I'm writing the Wilcock book, and suddenly I have a girlfriend that's channeling this group soul that says they created the universe. And it was like...
What do you think, though, today, what do they want today? What's going on?
What do the group souls want?
Yeah, what are they trying to accomplish here?
I'll tell you. The universe is in a state of constant evolution. And each of us is part of the evolution of the universe, as well as part of ourselves. We evolve by our ability to open up our DNA strands. The way DNA strands get open has to do with being in the field of energy of openness. The first seven DNA strands, as I understand it, relate to the first seven chakras. You know, the seven chakras, this is in Indian, they talk about the chakras, the energy centers that go from the base of the spine up to the top of the head, okay? And each one relates to a different aspect of your life. For example, the heart area is called the heart chakra.
Right.
The stomach area is the third chakra, is the power chakra. If you notice, when people do martial arts, they make grunting sounds from their stomach, like, ah, you know, or people make sushi. It's a radiation of your power chakra coming from your stomach. It's your third chakra. Your fourth chakra is your heart. It relates to compassion. Your sixth chakra is your third eye. And it relates to psychic awareness. And your seventh chakra is the top of your head that relates to in-streaming energies from the cosmos. When we're on our conference calls, many people can actually feel energy coming in from the top of their heads and moving down their chakra system. And people come in depressed, and they're not depressed anymore. They suddenly feel expanded. The goal of these higher group souls, as I see it, is to give us the opportunity to expand our hologram higher than the lower chakras. This realm is very much in the third chakra. The third chakra, the stomach area, the solar plexus, the power chakra. And so in the power chakra, it's like, do I have control over you, or do you have control over me? And there's no compassion in the third chakra. Now, it's not bad, because we need power in this realm to function. You're not supposed to not have power. You have to add power with the fourth chakra, and the fourth chakra is the heart chakra. And that's compassion. So if you can have power and compassion, you become quite effective in this realm. Many people feel powerless. Some people open up their higher chakras without the lower chakras, and then they could look like space cadets. And so it's not like chakras are bad. They're part of being in a body means there's a sexual chakra. That's part of your body. It's part of your body system. There's a survival chakra, and there's a power chakra, and then there's a heart chakra, and then there's a wisdom chakra. Now, when you get the power chakra, the heart chakra, and the wisdom chakra all working, now you can be masterful in this realm.
Well, that's the way to do it. The name of his books, of course, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce and the Creator Gods of the Physical Universe, They Want to Talk to You. Up next, open lines on Coast to Coast AM.